G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Rise and Shine, Rise and Shine. With Robbo and Becky on Vision.
On the line with us, we've got all the way from Nambucca Heads, just south of Coffs Harbour there, we have the legendary drag car racer himself, Mr. Phil Penny. Welcome to the show.
That's an introduction, mate, but yeah, hi, how are we going?
Yeah, good, mate, good. Now, you've got to excuse me for this interview. I've got to apologise in advance because you're talking to someone who knows nothing about cars. I'm such a car dummy.
No, that's cool, everybody. I've met plenty of people who don't know anything about them. Don't worry.
Okay, okay. You are renowned around Australia with your drag racing there, and you're driving, for all the car heads out there, you're driving a 1965 Honda S600. Did I get that right?
Yep, you got it right. It's actually Honda's first sports car they ever made and had a lot of motorbike technology in it.
Wow.
So it sort of had the reason it's called 600 is because it was 0.6 of 1 litre motor. So it's not even it's a tiny engine, but it's literally a motorbike engine.
Where does someone like yourself get this love of motor vehicles and cars and engines and that? Where does that come from?
I sort of never really had a choice in the direction I went. From as a little boy, I had older brothers and their mates who were, all into modifying cars, you know, way back in the late 60s.
Wow.
And I was a little kid, but I grew up surrounded by that influence of modifying cars and motorbikes. And I think it was 8 years old. I had my dad. I had him. He was a welder, a boilermaker, and I had him. I'd go around to the throw out nights around Sydney where we lived in suburbia and drag home old Victor lawnmowers and we'd get the motors out of the mower and the one that'd work and my dad'd fabricate the engine into the original Melbourne Star push bike.
Oh my goodness.
That were around in the day.
Holy moly.
Yeah, so, I was racing around the local parks where I lived in Sydney at 8, 9, 10 years old on my homemade mini bike out of a Victor lawnmower.
Fastest 8-year-old on the block.
Well, that's just about it, yeah.
Fantastic. You've managed to turn that into a drag racing career there, and it's not just you. You're keeping it within your family. You've got your son Christian involved as well.
Yeah. Well, Christian's sort of same as me. Never sort of had a choice because the day he was born, I was showing him. He came to work. Actually, he came to work with me from 2 years old because I'm a fabricator, spray painter. That's my work that I do anyway.
Yes.
So he came to work with me from 2 years old till he was five, and then he had to go to preschool. But those 3 years, he watched me, cut rust out of cars and weld them up and sand them down and, you know, body fill it up and get it all ready to spray. And by the time he was five, he could draw a picture in with his finger on my back right from the start process of restoring a car and he could go right through it, drawing it and making all the sounds of the machine, the grinder and the spray gun and the sander like this.
Oh, wow.
When he was 5 years old. So he's had the love of it, since virtually he was born.
The other thing that you're renowned for around Australia, and I've seen you in multiple interviews all over the world, you and Christian there, and on the car that you're dragging out there, and the car that you're out there in all the competitions, the license plate in big bold letters is Jesus One. Where did that come from?
I'm one of the fortunate few that were born with a with an incredible father who guided me through my life to be an evangelist, you know, like preach the gospel, you know. And I'm actually looking on the wall now where I am in my little house at Nambucca, and there's a picture of his car. It's about a 1948 Anglia panel van, and he's got a caravan on the back which he built himself, like looks like a big egg. And I'm looking at it right now, and on the side of his, on the panel van, on that section where the windows usually are, it's got in big letters, "Prepare to meet thy God."
So,
you know, a Christian father, my father handed down his influence and had how he ran his life to me, and then I've done the same to my sons.
Wow.
So it's so important, you know, now for me to keep carrying on that tradition of spreading the gospel like my dad did. He never missed an opportunity. Never missed an opportunity to tell someone the gospel. You know, like back in the 70s, late 70s, when hitchhiking was sort of the done thing for young guys or people to get around the country if you were broke. My dad used to say to me, "You pick up every hitchhiker you can, Phil, because once they're in the car, they can't get out, and you can tell them the gospel."
I love the sound of your dad. I love the sound of your dad there. I love the fact that we're seeing this pattern of fatherhood, you know, patterning there for you, for your son, and you're passing it down to your son there. And let's hope it continues, you know, continues down the generations. But Phil, I wanted to ask, you know, what you're doing out there on the drags and what other guys are out there doing it. You know, we sort of look at the videos and we go, "Oh, that looks like a lot of fun." But really, I mean, the speeds that you're going and the machines that you're strapping yourselves in, it's life and death out there on the tracks. And you must be, I know you're well known as the Christian guy on the track there. When it gets touch and go, and I know you've seen some accidents over the years, you know, how has your faith come into play then?
Well, I have to admit that the older I'm getting, I'm 63 now, the older I'm getting, the more I'm thinking about my physical being, as in I don't really want to get hurt. And, you know, it'd be a shame to go and, you know, end up hurt at this age, because probably be a lot harder to recover. But yes. I put that aside because obviously my car and even when I'm building things for other people, the safety aspects are the paramount. Like the roll cage, the seat belts, the whole safety aspect of my car and cars I work on, that's paramount, obviously. So, you know, I trust in God 100% that he'll keep the car straight and I'll make it to the other end. But I do weigh it up, and I won't kid anyone. It is a very touch and go thing. Like, I'll just tell you a quick story that happened. 3 years ago, I was racing up at Willowbank in Brisbane. I hit 280, so 180 miles an hour, or 280 kilometres an hour, in the left lane, right next to a car I was racing in. We're both neck and neck with each other. And just as I went over the finish line, at the quarter-mile line, I was just about to take my foot off the throttle, but the split second before I got my foot off, I heard the exhaust backfire, which was the traction control coming into play, and straight away the car just went literally across the track, straight at the guy I was racing. Because what happened, a rod, and you might know what I'm talking about here, but some people listening might know. One of the rock con rods in the engine flew out the side of the block.
Whoa.
And just put 4 litres of oil over my front tyre and my back left-hand tyre, which with the diffs in our cars, they're locked. So if one isn't got traction, it's going to, the other one's the only one with traction. And it just turned me at a right-hand turn at 280 kilometres an hour. Oh. And I had a millisecond to reef the steering wheel back away from the wall on the other side where I was heading for. And I went straight behind the car I was racing, like missed it by probably, 300 mil.
Wow.
Reefed the steering wheel back away from the wall and the car went backwards sideways into the wall. He pulled his parachute for a while. There's video of it. For a while, from the video view from the tower, you couldn't even see my Honda. It was under his parachute. So wow. I was so close behind him. His parachute was over the top of my car and that I went out of sight from anyone looking. And then next thing, his parachute came down and grabbed my back wing that's off the back of the car.
Yes.
And, of course, he was still going faster than me because I was on the brakes trying to stop it as I was skidding down the wall. It pulled me out sideways and then it let me go, but it put me into a slide at, like, probably by then maybe 200 k's an hour. I might have slowed it down 80 k's. So I went into a slide looking out the driver's side window at 200 kilometres an hour and literally following him down the track, following this parachute that was, 50 metres in front of me.
Wow.
And it just, as I was skidding down there, your mind goes, this is a big one. Because we all think that. Everybody who races, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And the more you race, the more the statistics will say that you're going to have a big one day. And I'm just thinking this. All I remember thinking was, this is the big one. And then I remember thinking, it's not going to roll, because as it was skidding down the track, the both front tyres blew out because of the sideways motion of the scraping on the tyres. They both blew out, and then the car sort of rested on the big exhaust that comes out just under the sill on the driver's side.
Wow.
It's a big five inch billeted exhaust pipe that just hangs out the side, and if anyone looks up the site, they'll see the car, they'll know what I'm talking about. And it literally rested on that and just held the front from digging in, and I just skidded down the track, and all I could think of was, it's not going to crash. And this is the significant part. When it finally started to slow down, it finally spun right around and faced the other way back on the right side of the track, right next to the wall. It didn't hit the wall, but I had to get out the passenger side because it was only like 6 inches off the wall.
Yeah.
And I remember, I'll never forget it. I got out of it, got the race harness off, climbed over, got out the passenger's door, took the helmet off. I looked up the track and all I could see was these black lines for as far as I could see. And then all these safety crew and the fire guys, everyone charging, a couple of hundred metres up there heading for me. And in that moment, I'll never forget it, because I looked up in the sky and I got my fist and I said, Satan, is that the best you could do? Is that all you got? And, I walked away from that. An hour later, I was sitting in the stands as calm as can be, totally accepting what had happened and not a mark on me.
Wow.
And that's what it is. It's I know you, the name of Jesus out there.
Yeah.
We know that Bible says that in the name of Jesus, demons will flee.
Yeah.
And we are surrounded by evil, whether people want to talk about Satan and hell, well, that's their prerogative. But what I read in the Bible, we're in a war. As Christians, we're in a war, and the more we upset Satan by putting the name of Jesus out there, the more we're going to be under attack.
Yeah.
But I also understand that, a bit like Job, God's got the reins on how far anything can, what can happen to me.
Yeah.
And like it says in the Bible that we can't put one moment before, add on or take away our time here on earth, because we're all, Jesus says that we're appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment.
Amen.
So when I think like that, I don't, my fear about what I'm doing disperses a bit. But like I said before, it's always an anxious moment, but I'm prepared to keep doing it because I know that to put the name of Jesus out into the world is such an important thing.
Yeah. It's amazing that God rises up different people to go out into different areas, all the places.
Yeah.
And one person, it might be their workplace. For one person, it might be their school. And for you and your son, Christian, it's out there in the drag strips and in the races. And I love the fact that you are shining the name of Jesus and faith in him so brightly. Listen, we're going to put your Facebook details out there where people can get in touch with you. How would you like people to pray for you? How would you like people to, get in contact with you guys? Is there anything you want people to do for you guys?
You know, sometimes us Christians, we do everything and we go through the great lengths of everything and then we go, oh, you know, the last resort is you better start praying. Well, that should be our first resort. Let's pray about this. And God looks after me. He supports what I do through giving me plenty of work to make money to keep this thing going. So, you know, I could see him working every day for the cause with what Christian and I are doing. And prayer, anyone who would like to, you know, just pray for Phil Penny when he starts that engine up and goes down the quarter mile, because like I said, we the prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have against Satan.
That is a perfect place to end that interview. That is fantastic, Phil. What a great story.
Yeah. Well, no problem, DJ. Yeah. There's so many things you could say, but maybe if you get enough interest, ring me again and we could do another interview. Yeah. I can show you some of the people that I've, like obviously when I'm there, you're in the drag racing in the pits. You've got everyone who comes to watch is allowed to walk through the pits. At stages, I can't even get to my own car. There's so many people around taking photos of it because it is a wild-looking thing.
Yeah.
It's very popular for people wanting to take photos.
I love it.
Which is why, you know, with the plates and rising force, as soon as they... be honest with you, some people come up and they say, oh, man, they look at the plates and they go, Jesus, there, I'd be saying that too, driving that thing. And I laugh at them and I say, yeah, but, mate, that's actually not why they're on there.
Yeah.
And
Great opportunity to witness to someone. It's awesome. I love it.
It's perfect because then you just have a laugh with them. You go, yeah, mate, but I actually pray to him to keep me going. And, you know, they say, go, oh, yeah, I would too.
Yeah, that's an immediate in.
Without everything.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, mate.
No worries. Bless you, buddy. Have a great one.
Same to you. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.